This is the Your Vote, Your Voice Election 2020 podcast. Keep it tuned to 1030 The Voice for everything Election 2020. Local and national races, all the updates. Election 2020 lives on 1030 The Voice. Trusted local news and talk.
Andres Cano is on the line running for re-election for his seat in LD3. And we also want to talk about what is the road to rebuilding Arizona? How do we look now to the future and come back stronger than ever, as long as a journey that may be? Andres, my friend, welcome on the air. Debut time on Tipping Point. Thanks for making some time for us today.
Thanks, Zach. I couldn't say no to my favorite man of the year.
Well, that's good. I appreciate it. It's good to hear you. And you've been in Tucson a little bit longer since the legislature released in light of COVID-19, but it's about to go back in session. Am I right in that?
I can't imagine us possibly going back anytime soon, Zach. I think it was a prudent step for us to suspend the legislature. We were really just about 2 or 3 weeks away from adjournment when all of this started. And of course, we made the prudent decision to go home and preach our word and make sure that the public health of all Arizonans was our priority. We were scheduled to be back April 13th, this Monday.
Yes.
That's been delayed to the end of the month. But, you know, at this point, with all the data coming in, knowing that the numbers that we're seeing every morning at 9 a.m. when the Department of Health Services sends them our way, that's still old data. You know, I mean, it's 2 or 3 weeks old. And so what we have to continue doing is doing exactly what Arizonans have been doing, which is making our personal health and the health of our loved ones our biggest priority, taking the really tough decisions to stay home if we can. So, our legislature will be back when we can. Certainly our work is not done. But I'm eager to return to the state capitol so we can roll up our sleeves and offer some solutions to all the folks who are affected by this crisis.
For sure. And Andres, COVID-19, as it shifted many things for you on this program, has certainly shifted our conversations with electeds and candidates for sure. I want to take the second segment to mostly talk with you about the road to rebuild. And as a current member and seeking to continue on in your seat at the Arizona House of Representatives, I would love to get your thoughts on that. But this is your first time on the show, and I'd love to finish this segment out talking about, even though it was almost 2 years ago now at this point, what was your tipping point? I love that question. It's the name of the show. What got you into the race way back when? What keeps you in the race? What is your vision for Southern Arizona?
Well, I think Southern Arizona is a resilient community. I was raised by a single mom, and we were constantly told that the best opportunity to have some hope in this world was getting a strong education in it. And that's what I did. I'm the first person in my family to graduate from college. And I think when I look at our legislature, I see a lot of frustration with what happens at the Capitol. Why don't everyday Arizonans get the support they need? Why do we spend more money sending people to prison than we do on our education system? What do we do to put more money to the teachers that make our students' dreams possible? I think you talk to any parent right now in this crisis, and I bet you that the investment, the desire for investment in our teachers and what they do is like, you know, 100-fold at this point, because folks are realizing that it is really hard for a small family, much less a classroom of 30. Can you imagine? So tipping point for me is giving back, making sure that I reflect my constituency well, hold on to those values. And in a time like this, we kind of have our reelection messaging on pause. But what I'm really just trying to do is to represent my constituents well and fight for them and making sure that they're getting all the services that they need during these important, critical times. And for me, you know, more than any individual campaign, that's the best thing I can ask for, is to be able to be a voice for the people in my district, which, by the way, I'm honored to be one of your state representatives. But our district includes the University of Arizona, downtown, the west side, and the south side. So it's a big, vast district. I think it has some of the most special places in Pima County, if you ask me.
Andres, that's a great segue to one of the questions I wanted to ask you. We're kind of doing a little bit of a abbreviated get to know you in platform conversation, because I think the important issue at hand is COVID-19. But as mentioned, I am on the West Side, and I see every day this collision of our university, our innovation, our technology, our downtown, our revitalization, our urban core. And it's really in the middle of some of the oldest barrios and communities that are in Tucson, and in fact, the nation, oddly enough, the birthplace of Tucson has 4,000 years of history. If you had to kind of whittle down your platform, your priorities as a state legislator down to maybe two or three that reflect that diversity and that tension, which I think is a tension Tucson shares as a whole, what are those priorities that that you're working for our state on a daily basis?
Sure. Well, it's the three E's, education, the economy, and the environment. I think I've already spoken a little bit about education, increasing teacher pay and lowering class sizes, but I haven't talked about Pima Community College and the importance of higher education in our community. The state legislature sends $0 in state support to Pima Community College and has for the last 4 years. That's just wrong. The economy, I think we are the epicenter of lots of great economic growth, good innovation, a lot of startups, and we have to continue encouraging that continued investment. And when we get back into our regular lives, I think we have to pay close attention to those small business owners who, at this point, you know, we were doing so well, and then this happened. Fighting for public-private partnerships and encouraging the Rio Nuevo District to continue its investment in the city core on the west side. And then environment. It goes back to, do you have safe water coming out of your faucet in the morning? Is the air that you're breathing safe for you and your families and your loved ones? How are we supporting renewable energy in a rich solar Arizona industry? So for me, I think it goes back to those higher level foundations, and we're lucky to be a part of a community that really respects and honors those three things: education, the economy, and the environment.
You hit on something that I've been really wanting to talk with you about, because it was just, it's not recent at this point, but it was renewed for, I think, another 10 or 15 years. But it was not certain that it would be, and that is the Rio Nuevo District. A lot of Democrats and Republicans, both alike here in Tucson, have come out very much against it. I'm in favor from a public-private partnership standpoint. I've made that known. You just mentioned those words. But what was it like advocating for that? And clarify your support for that partnership here in your district especially.
Well, I think a lot of the folks who helped make sure that I had a strong foundation to be an effective state representative helped me understand that public-private partnerships are key. And I think, you know, I've gone to school in the downtown area since I was 14 years old. I remember a very quiet, it was a very quiet downtown, Zach. I think that's the biggest thing. The investment was not here yet. In the matter, you know, of 10 years to today, look at the energy and the excitement, the community that's being built. I certainly am supportive of Rio Nuevo, and the legislature has a direct oversight over the district, and I'm proud to stand with the district and with its leadership. And at the same time, I am also going to be very cognizant of some of the concerns that have been brought up by folks from across the aisle, but more than anything, from my constituents, from neighbors who are absolutely okay with investment in our city core and on the west side, but they want a seat at the table. They want to ensure that if we are going to make any kind of improvements, it is as simple as including constituents in meetings, making them a part of the stakeholder process. I think it's no different than any negotiation in any world where you say we are supportive, but this is what we want. And if it's and it's always going to be a difficult process. I mean, this is democracy at its finest, right? I will say, the Rio Nuevo district has been absolutely critical to lifting up folks in my district, and I'm very proud of that growth. And we're just beginning.
Andres Cano is on the line, Arizona State House of Representatives representative in Legislative District 3, as he mentioned, very much downtown, U of A, West Side. We're doing an abbreviated kind of overview, Andres, of your platform and your priorities, because we want to get to the big issue at hand, and that is rebuilding Arizona post-COVID-19. Andres for Arizona.com, is that still the best place for people to either learn more or contact you and reach out to you if they're interested?
Absolutely. I'm a very transparent person, very easy to access. My personal cell phone is 520-301-6162. When I was running for this office in 2018, I gave my number to a constituent who then published it in the Daily Star in a letter to the editor saying, I've never met a politician who gives out his cell phone number. So, yeah, you can find me. I don't hide. And I was very grateful to that constituent for doing that, because anytime you look my number up, it's directly linked to me now in that letter to the editor in the Daily Star.
It is in print. Andres Cano, again, thank you for your time. We're not done yet. We're going to go to our final break of the hour. When we come back, we're going to talk the road to rebuilding Arizona. And Andres, I'm excited to have you on the line. You've been in this seat for almost 2 years. You're running for re-election. You have a grasp on the policy options that the state legislature has to help families, working professionals get back to work and get out of some of these really recession and worse level numbers that we're facing as we make public health decisions right now that I think have also been necessary in the beginning. We'll be right back here on 1030 The Voice for one more segment with Andres Cano, Legislative District 3, Arizona State House of Representatives. Don't go away. Tucson, welcome back. We are partway through our conversation with Arizona State Representative out of the Arizona State House of Representatives, Andres Cano, Legislative District 3. Andres, we're going to get into some policy. What's the toolbox that you're looking to deploy should you continue in your seat going into 2021 to rebuild Arizona? I do want to mention a mentor and friend of yours was tragically lost in our community just a few weeks ago, Richard Elias, and I want to express my condolences to you and just recognize his iconic place in the community, politics and policy aside, longtime public servant, and I know you were close, and I just want to express my condolences, Andres.
Thank you so much, Zach. Yeah, I was a part of the chairman's life for the last 13 years, certainly a mentor and an important political and personal figure in my life, and we'll miss him greatly. I appreciate your kind sentiment.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't want to gloss over that. And again, thank you for being here and spending some time with us. You know, Andres, I've been excited to chat with you because you've been in the seat now at the Arizona State House of Representatives. You know the tools in play. Now, what is the road to rebuild Arizona? What are you hoping to do to get families back to work, get businesses up and going, to keep people in their homes? This has been a heck of a journey, and I think it's an 18 to 24 month recovery period. How do you figure into that picture?
Well, I think the most immediate political reality is that this legislature has to adjourn at some point over the next month or two. We've heard conversations that the governor and the majority leadership at the state capitol is interested in adjourning soon and then convening in a special session where we're able to discuss the long-term policies. The kind of higher level conversation is that Arizona's economy was doing okay, arguably. I would still say that there are constituents in my district who even before the crisis were hurting and were not getting support from the state in the way that they should, not enough health care, Housing continued to be an issue that we were dealing with, 30 evictions per day in southern Arizona alone. And so there were a lot of dominoes falling, you know, at that point. And then this happened, and we had over $1 billion surplus, as the governor has been talking about over the last year. But that essentially is a result of this, and from what our budget analyst told lawmakers last week, is that we have a $1.1 billion budget shortfall right now. And so I don't know, Jack. I think the biggest thing that we are paying attention to are the June numbers. You have to take a step back and recognize that local jurisdictions are dependent, especially cities, are dependent on sales taxes. The counties are dependent on property taxes. And so there's two parts. You have the city taxes that we're collecting. What is that revenue going to look like? We won't have a clear number until 2 months down the line. And then I've been getting constant emails from constituents asking about property tax relief, which is something that the legislature has the sole authority of doing, but we've so far not discussed that. So I think, you know, for me, I am a member of the minority party. I'm a Democrat. We have 29 Democrats in the state house, 31 Republicans. I very much hoped when I was elected 2 years ago into this position that that close split, you know, almost even split among party lines, that we'd be able to come together, roll up our sleeves and get working on hard solutions. And of course, we went complete opposite from that. And so I'm looking at this point to hold my fellow majority colleagues accountable to discuss these very hard things. I don't want to have a discussion that is business as usual or the status quo. And then remember, we have an election in the middle of all of this. And for me, you know, 2020's election year is a pivotal year for us to send a bold message that Arizona is open to lots of folks. And so I'm ready to see what that transition is going to look like, because it's going to have huge implications for this long-term recovery, as you mentioned.
Absolutely. You know, when you talk to your constituents, Andres, are you the numbers that I've seen show that most Pima County residents state rent and mortgage as their greatest burden right now. Is that matching your conversations? And do you expect to have to deal with housing issues, whether it's the landlords who aren't getting paid rent, or the renters who can't pay rent or can't pay their mortgage? Do you expect that to be an issue that's on the table in the next legislative session, maybe more than it was before?
I certainly hope so, Zach. I mean, it is heart-wrenching as an elected official to have to tell constituents that the amount of support that we have is almost close to none. We rely on charitable contributions and hardworking nonprofit organizations to carry the burden. And, you know, prior to COVID-19, we had spent hours on the House floor throughout the last year and a half talking about the burgeoning housing crisis. And absolutely, renters are affected by this. Folks who are paying their mortgage are affected by it. The relief cannot simply come from Washington, but just as short as a month ago when we were advocating on the House floor for $50 million in additional relief for renters and for folks paying their mortgage, the answer we were told was no. That, to me, is a strike, compare, and contrast of, are we solely going to rely on Washington to give us answers, or are we going to be able to make prudent decisions, financially sound decisions to lift people up? And I'm not proud that before this we had 30 evictions per day in southern Arizona. Imagine that number in a time when unemployment is at a rise. You know, it's not only a rise, it's with over 200,000 claims in a week. Unemployment claims. So I think the need's going to get better. We're going to have to get smarter. We're going to have to look at every budget line item, and that's not going to be an easy process. But I just hope that what I'm not told when we come back into session is that I'm playing partisan politics with it. And what I'm doing is talking about everyday people who don't know where to go. That's not being partisan. That's being real.
Right. Well, do you, you know, I've been saying that, you know, the mission that has been given to, I think, our state, to our local officials, whether or not it's chosen to be accepted, it's a mission that has to be done. And that is, I see just a real economic recovery period needing to be undertaken. I think it's going to be some very nuts and bolts policymaking for the next 12 to 18 months. We got about a minute and a half, Andres, but would you agree with that assessment that it's going to be a real recovery period here going forward? The economy certainly can't just turn on and turn off at the same level, right?
No, I think it's all about recovery, 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 and we are going to have to work to get our fair share of federal funds, and we're going to have to work with our small businesses and make investments in them so that employees are able to access those loans and grants. And ultimately, for me, what has been so uplifting over the last 4 weeks is, you know, I'm so proud to be a Tucsonan, a lifelong resident, and I've seen community come together in the most beautiful ways, people taking care of another. I have been able to do something as simple with the support of a lot of folks who took my call to action seriously. I've been able to buy groceries for families in
yes.
District 3, Zach, and something like that it just kind of goes back to, you know, humanity and taking care of one another. And I think ultimately your lawmakers absolutely will be on your side, will be doing our best to make sure that we're offering the kind of relief that folks need. But we're in this together. And for me, that's one of the best feelings is that this is Tucson. And I'm so grateful to have the opportunity to be one of the voices at the state capitol fighting for everyday people here in Southern Arizona.
Andres Cano, State Representative, District 3. Thank you so much for your time as the seconds tick down here. Appreciate you spending a couple segments with us. And good luck on the on the Tucson side. Thanks for your work and for sharing with us what you're up to. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Zach. I appreciate you.
Tucson, we'll be back same place, same time Friday. See you there.